This episode of Intelligent Medicine is brought to you by Heart Greens. Helping to support healthy blood pressure and circulation just became hassle-free. Introducing Heart Greens, the functional food that you drink using the same dark leafy greens recommended by both the DASH and Mediterranean diets. Get a free canister of Heart Greens with your first order and a 100% money-back guarantee. Heart Greens even guarantees you'll love the taste. Call 800-951-8940. That's 800-951-8940. Or visit IntelligentGreens.com. That's IntelligentGreens.com. Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and today we're going to reprise one of my favorite guests. She's the Naughty Nutritionist. She's Dr. Kayla Daniel. And we're going to wade into a controversy that, actually rivals the current controversy that's exploding over the potential ties and scandals of Donald Trump. This is sort of raging in the news lately. But this is an even more important controversy. It's the controversy over whether fermented cod liver oil is a marvelous health food or a potential peril to your health. And that's one of the reasons why I've invited Dr. Kayla Daniel to join us today, because she has done some investigative reporting based on her research and has some strong opinions on a product that many of you may gravitate towards as a health product. Dr. Daniel is a PhD. She's also been around on the media. She's co-author of the best-selling Nourishing Broth. And we'll talk a little bit about broth as a healing remedy. And The Whole Soy Story, The Dark Side of America's Favorite Health Food. And that actually was the subject of a previous podcast, because we focused on the potential downsides of soy. She's got some strong opinions about that, too. She's been on the Dr. Oz show, on PBS, NPR's People's Pharmacy, and throughout the media, and spoken at numerous professional conferences. She's currently based in Albuquerque, New Mexico. She's in private practice. And so without further ado, here's Dr. Kayla Daniel. Kayla, it's a pleasure having you back on Intelligent Medicine. Thanks for joining
us. It's an honor to be on your show.
Well, it's my pleasure. So, okay, first of all, tell us a little bit about your background, because you are someone who's been in the movement for restoration of ancestral diets, and that has to do with the work of Weston A. Price. Can you, for some of our listeners who are less acquainted with that paradigm, can you acquaint them with that?
Well, like many people in the alternative medical movement and real food movement, I was unhealthy. I was sick and tired of being sick and tired, and I thought that natural remedies and diet could make a difference. I started investigating many, many different types of diets. I did Ayurvedic and macrobiotic and live food combining and raw food and juicing and you name it. I studied it. I did it. And eventually arrived at a diet that includes animal products that could be described as primal or paleo or ancestral or following the work of Dr. Weston Price. But there have been many, many researchers in that area. And all my study really indicated that we do need those animal products.
Mm-hmm. And what differs, what distinguishes the Weston Price protocol from some other forms of paleo diet is that it does, and not for everyone, because everyone has to individualize their diet, of course, but in general, it's permissive of dairy products, but only unrefined dairy products. In other words, not pasteurized, not homogenized, so-called, pure, virgin, dairy products. Is that correct?
Yes, many people do really well with raw dairy who cannot handle pasteurized dairy. But unfortunately, some people can't handle any dairy, so we have to do what serves us best, and that's why so many diet plans are good to know about. We've got a lot of bio-individuality among each other, and some of us are lucky enough to be able to handle dairy, and some no.
Indeed. And so just a brief background on Dr. Weston Price, for those not familiar with his work.
Well, Dr. Price went to many so-called primitive areas of the world to find out why they were thriving in good health with good teeth and good bones and good overall health without the diseases of modern civilization, without the degeneration, as he called it. And he discovered that in many, many places of the world, there were certain things in common. One being that they all valued fats and they all used some animal products. And indeed, it was one of the great disappointments of his life that he did not find a single culture anywhere that was purely vegetarian. He mm-hmm. really had hoped to find that.
Right. So actually, he was all for plant-based diets, but he couldn't demonstrate that that really was the optimal diet for people. It's interesting. He was really prescient because in and around the time that his work was popularized, which I guess is he did the research, I think, in the 20s and 30s or the 30s and 40s. But anyway, he popularized his work in the 50s and 60s. And it was at that time that the pendulum swung towards an ultra low fat, vegetarian, macro, vegan approach. And it seems that now that he's been long deceased, his views have really been vindicated because we're seeing the research really substantiating the benefits of animal protein, even saturated fat, higher amounts of fat, and fat phobia seems to be dissipating.
Yes, fat is quite the fad these days. And as the naughty nutritionist, I like to talk about knowing the fats of life. And, you know, there's so many ketogenic books coming out and paleo, primal, ketogenic. Yes, I'd say he's definitely been vindicated.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's get to the controversy du jour, because one of the trendy foods, and I see it sometimes while shopping, and I see it on online sites where they sell healthy foods, you know, that is conformed to paleo diet plans, FCLO is the short hand for it, fermented cod liver oil. So what is that, and why is it so popular, and what's your verdict on it?
Yes, that's been a product that's been heavily pushed by Sally Fallon, president of the Weston A. Price Foundation, and it's produced by a company called Green Pasture in Nebraska, and many, many people have.
By the way, that's a funny place to produce cod liver oil because it's a really landlocked.
Well, indeed,
it's a landlocked part of the country. Right.
That was one of the reasons that I started to question it. Mm-hmm. It didn't make sense for it to be coming out of Nebraska. Mm-hmm. Most of the other companies that really value a high quality fresh product that has not gone rancid are doing it very close to the source.
Like, you know, Scandinavia or somewhat, yeah, like Norway, right? Yeah.
Or Alaska if they're using, say, a, you know, Alaskan cod or pollock, say. Mm-hmm. So they would be doing it close to the source in order to protect those fragile omega-3s.
Mm-hmm.
So Sally Fallon has promoted that and continues to promote it. And I started to really wonder, like, first of all, how can you ferment oil? Well, you can't. Mm-hmm. But then they started to say you don't ferment the oil, you ferment the liver to produce the oil. Hmm. But, hey, you can't ferment liver either. There's not enough carbohydrates in there.
Yep.
Like 1% or 2% is barely enough to get it going, and it's not mm-hmm. going to keep the fermentation perking for 6 months
right.
or more.
That's a little bit what I was wondering when I heard about the product, because I get it. You know, you can ferment virtually any kind of grain. You ferment, the cactus and you get tequila. You ferment wheat or potatoes and you can get vodka. You ferment rye and you get whiskey. You ferment corn, you get bourbon. Okay, I get it. There's lactose in milk. You can ferment that and make yogurt. So, but where's the carbohydrate source that's going to be acted upon by bacteria or yeast to create a byproduct in what essentially is maybe some protein, but mostly fat, right? An oil is fat.
Yeah, there's no way you can do a fermentation there. And so if it's not fermenting, what's happening with it? It's rotting. So you've got a rancid oil, and that oil is extremely rancid. And did a lot of laboratory studies with the best marine oil laboratories in the world. And it all added up to the same conclusion that it's a very, very rancid oil. It's an oil that's so rancid it's reached the point where it's stable, where it can't get any worse. And in Norway, when they allow the oils to ferment or rot for months and months and months, they end up using it for paint.
Yeah.
So it's an industrial thing.
Exactly. I mean, that's, I think, certain types of oil paints are made from cod liver oil. They have a sort of fishy smell, but you don't want to eat them. Right? Or it's similarly, you can do that with flaxseed oil, like rancid flaxseed oil becomes a base for paint.
Yes, an excellent one, linseed. And it's traditional, but it's traditional as paint. You don't eat that flax oil.
Right.
Or it would not be wise to, shall we say.
Yeah. Okay, well, I mean, I know you don't advocate this product, but what are the purported advantages of, you know, cod liver oil, CLO is one thing, but what advantage is proposed for the fermentation process? What is it supposed to yield, something, some new property or some enhancement to the cod liver oil?
It's been heavily marketed as being extremely high in vitamin A and D. And the testing at respected laboratories indicated modest amounts of vitamin A, but surprisingly almost no vitamin D. And as it turned out, the reason for that is it wasn't cod liver oil at all, but DNA testing showed it to be pollock liver oil. So it's even being misrepresented on the label. Now, at this point, I understand the manufacturer is using Alaskan cod and not pollock anymore. But for a long time, people were thinking they were buying an Arctic cod, and in fact, they were getting Alaskan pollock, much cheaper product.
And this is a big problem in the fish industry because a lot of the fish that we buy is counterfeit, the so-called free-swimming wild Alaskan salmon is actually farm raised, and there's no way of knowing for the consumer. And then there are even different species. So one species that is particularly prone to that is red snapper. That is something where, you know, it's a high priced, very delicate, white meat fish with a lovely taste. But yeah, there's so many ways around, the supply chain that, they're introducing all kinds of fish species there, and the only way to tell is to do a DNA analysis on the fish. You can't eyeball it because fish looks similar once it's filleted.
Yes, and I think it's very important in the real foods business to know what we're getting. You know, we want authentic products where a lot of us are willing to pay high prices to get quality. And to be deceived is just not acceptable.
Okay, well, you say they've fixed that problem. One concern I have about cod liver oil, and I don't use much cod liver oil, and maybe you can dissuade me because maybe you're a fan of regular cod liver oil, not fermented cod liver oil, is that in my opinion, the amount of vitamin A and vitamin D is unpredictable. And if you really guzzle a lot of cod liver oil, you can get potentially toxic amounts of vitamin A, which you can go overboard on. And there are variable amounts of vitamin D in the cod liver oil. So maybe you might be better off taking a standardized supplement so you know at least how much you're getting. And if you want to get the EPA DHA, there are plenty of purified products that actually tell you how much is in them. So do you share that view?
Well, there's definitely some variability in a natural product. If it's an authentic product, if it is what it says it is, the variability will be within a decent range where it's pretty predictable. But as a clinical nutritionist, if somebody is extremely low in vitamin D or A, sometimes we might want to use some other supplements to replete them a lot faster. Mm-hmm. So that might be an issue. And, you know, I just wanted to point out with the cod liver oil, Dr. Weston Price certainly recommended using it, but he said to exercise a lot of caution. He was extremely concerned about rancidity issues and other things.
Mm-hmm. So explain rancidity. I mean, what's the problem? Clearly, many of us have had the experience of tasting a liquid supplement, you know, like flaxseed oil or cod liver oil, or sometimes liquid fish oil, or if you bite into a fish oil capsule, and it just doesn't taste right. And there's something that's hard to describe unless you're really attuned to that aroma of rancidity. But it's a bitter kind of flat taste. The dimension, you know, it just kind of tastes rotten, right?
Yeah, and I think instinctively we are able to understand when a food has gone bad. Now, with that fermented cod liver oil, a whole lot of people overrode their natural instincts because they had all been indoctrinated mm-hmm. with the idea that, yes, it was strong, but it was a superfood that was going to do great healing.
Right.
And that's just not the case. Their nose and taste was correct. The burning in the throat, many of these are clues that it was a product that could only damage their health.
Hmm. And you know, I don't want to impute motives, but is this just an effort to grab market share? Because, I mean, there's plenty of purveyors of cod liver oil. There's probably hundreds of them. And, you know, if you tweak it and ferment it and then popularize it, does that give you an edge over other just generic manufacturers of cod liver oil?
Well, they certainly did corner a market because there was no other product like that. And certainly all the other cod liver oil companies, and I've talked to a lot of them, they were all curious about the success of this new product, and they got interested. So they got it, and they tested it, and every one of them said, this is the most rancid product we have ever seen. We would not even consider selling this, no matter how much money we might make from it. It's mm-hmm. just not acceptable.
Well, that's good, at least that they're... There are some scruples left in the nutrition industry that other manufacturers weren't going to jump on the bandwagon of popularity of FCLO, fermented cod liver oil.
They were very frustrated because so many people were saying to them, well, why don't you ferment your oil? And answering those questions and a lot of the companies not wanting to malign a competitor, but they certainly had concerns.
Mm-hmm. Well, they just, by the very fact that they didn't want to go there, even if there was a commercial advantage, I think that really says something. So in part two of today's podcast, I want to do a little deeper dive on some of the other things that you're doing. You're a big advocate of healing broths, and you've actually written a book on that subject. We'll talk a little bit about soy as well. But before we leave the subject of cod liver oil, do you have any recommendations for people? Do you think that, you know, when people want to supplement vitamin A and D and get their omega-3 fatty acids, do you recommend cod liver oil as the source, or do you recommend fish oil, purified fish oil derivatives in capsules or liquids as the source, or do you recommend flaxseed oil, purified flaxseed oil, or a combination thereof?
Well, I'd first like to point out it's not a, you know, we're not bickering about one brand versus another, you know, one brand being a little different, anything like that. My investigation of the fermented cod liver oil indicated it was rancid and putrid, it was low in the fat-soluble vitamins, and at the time of the investigation, they were not even using cod. And some of the effects of that we're seeing, and I've got hundreds and hundreds of testimonies at this point, people experiencing a lot of heart problems, heart arrhythmias, going hospitalized, people, digestive problems, several possible deaths. This is not a difference, you know, between one product and another, you know, which one you prefer. This, mm-hmm. in my experience and with my testing and with what is coming through from people with their lab reports, with their medical records and so forth, is this has the potential to do a lot of damage.
Hmm. And so, just curious, how might that be? Is that the rancidity renders the beneficial oils into something that could be damaging to the system? Is that the theory there? I mean, because we know that the good oils are heart healthy. There's no question that taking, fresh fish that's oily fish, beneficial for the heart, taking omega-3s rich in EPA, DHA, beneficial for the heart. But when these oils have been sitting there or subjected to some kind of transformative process, they call it fermentation, and they break down into byproducts, these byproducts are actually potentially harmful?
Well, there's hundreds of studies about the dangers of rancid oils, mm-hmm. and that would be true of any oil, whether you're talking vegetable oils or any oil or fat. When it becomes rancid, it is a danger to us, you know, every cell, every system in the body, and no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. Now, with other products, other fish oils or other cod liver oils, if they go bad, you should be able to know that yourself based on the smell, based on the taste. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I just threw out a bunch of oil in my house because I'd been sitting around too long, and it was supposed to be, you know, stable, like not, but I could tell it just wasn't good. And, you know, I hate to waste stuff. I really do, but it's just better in the garbage than in, you know, me being the garbage receptacle.
Yeah,
for that.
Real food will go bad. You know, it's supposed to go bad, and it's our job to take good care of it and eat it before it does go bad. So with oils, we need to be thinking about, you know, storing them at the right temperatures, keeping them out of the light, keeping them tightly capped, buying them in small bottles, using them up pretty quickly.
Also, opaque or tinted bottles would be good, too, because the light itself degrades the oils.
Yes, it does. So, you know, all of those factors. Mm-hmm. And people, of course, besides knowing how to take care of what they buy, there's the question of what they should buy. And there's no single answer. I mean, if you're eating liver several times a week, if you're eating a lot of fish, you might not need any of those.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you want to eat fish but take, say, desiccated liver capsules. That could be sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
Some people will do a quality fish oil, but we might want to do some testing to see exactly what we need. Some people benefit from flax and others do not, and so it goes.
And so what you're as a nutritionist, clinical nutritionist, you might be guided by the clinical picture and, you know, what's going on with the person, their diet history. You know, for example, I see kids all the time who are having a lot of health problems. And they never consume fish, and they never get any omega-3s. So I can do a blood test, and that's available to you as well, which can show me that they're extremely low in all the omega-3s, and then it guides my decision in terms of how to supplement them, correct?
Yes, and people sometimes go overboard. They hear they need omega-3, so they go overboard with that, and most people have too much omega-6, but some health nuts do go overboard with the omega-3.
Mm, that's possible, yeah. Okay, so there's no one-size-fits-all. So the other question before we go to part two, have you been assailed by a lot of people? This is a controversial viewpoint because you're actually calling out a specific company, which is a commercial enterprise, and it's supported by a lot of people. Has this made you a bit of a pariah, that you're a whistleblower in the industry?
I've definitely been a whistleblower, and I was vice president of the Weston A. Price Foundation, and after my report, I was removed from that position. But I had investigated because I felt responsible as vice president of the Weston Price Foundation. I did not feel we could overlook all the reports. We could not overlook the evidence, and it needed to be investigated thoroughly. So I stepped up to do that, and I knew there would be consequences, but I think it's helped a lot of people to know the truth about that product.
Okay, I appreciate your frankness about that, and, you know, we certainly want to get your viewpoint out to people so that they can make informed choices. All right, when we return, we're talking today to the naughty nutritionist, and she's been a little naughty. She's been so naughty that she got she got removed from her post by doing some aggressive investigational reporting on a popular supplement, fermented cod liver oil. She actually has produced a report called Hook, Line, and Stinker. That's clever. The truth about fermented cod liver oil, which you can obtain from her website, which is drkayladaniel.com. Dr. Kayla with two A's. Kayla, K-A-A-K-A-A-Y-L-A-Daniel.com. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and we'll be right back with more here on this week's Intelligent Medicine Podcast.